Blog Talk Radio.
Our roots began in Africa, where we enjoyed self-determination and freedom, which were rooted in our sovereignty. Peace, family. Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Dare to Win is the place where we have sobering conversation about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. We at Us Lifting Us have developed an exact methodology on how to build this global machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. To join tonight's discussion, please call 929-789. Press the number 1 on your phone when you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you prefer to listen on your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, click on the Dare to Win button, then click on Listen Live. At that time, you will be on the Blog Talk Radio site. If you want to get reminders from Blog Talk Radio for upcoming Dare to Win programs, click on the follow button. ULU members, we have our own social media community. Please join if you have not already done so. There is a Dare to Win group, and we would like to have your feedback on past Dare to Win programs, as well as topic suggestions for future programs. I am Sister Q, and joining me for this evening's discussion is Baba Hakima, one of the founding members of ULU, and he will be presenting this month's ULU in Review, monthly updates on ULU and Ujamaa, family-centered economics. Peace, Baba Hakima, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, sis. Good to hear your voice. And it seems like, I've said this before, but it seems like these third Thursdays roll around so fast. So, but it's good to be back with the family, but I'm doing well. Thank you.
I'm glad to hear that. So, Baba Hakima, where would you like to begin this month's ULU in Review? What updates do you have for the family on ULU and family-centered economics, or Ujamaa?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, part of what I want to discuss is rebranding of Ujamaa as new Ujamaa, but we'll talk about that. But as you indicated, on the third Thursday of each month, we dedicate the broadcast to bringing members and prospective members up to date on what's happening in ULU. And, of course, all of these are broadcast, are recorded and archived, and we'll get this broadcast back out to the family, at least the membership, later this evening or tomorrow. Well, of course, we've got some dates that we want to remind the family of. This coming Sunday is the members-only call. And for members, please look for the announcement in your email with the Zoom link. Again, our members only call this coming Sunday. And also, you have probably got notices, and you'll be getting a good many other notices for our annual members meeting in March of this year, March the 10th, 11th, and 12th. And as early as you can register, please do. We're looking for sponsors as well. So for members who have businesses or organizations or causes that you want to promote, please consider becoming a sponsor for this year's annual members meeting and convention. And sponsorships are also available for non-members as well. But look for the notices and look at the prompts on the website for registration and for counting yourself among the sponsors. So those are some of the announcements. And but in terms of updates, in terms of progress in ULU, members and some prospective members who have tuned in before know that in March of this year, we passed a resolution to change our structure, and it's been a monumental change. We made the changes for essentially two purposes, to protect members and to protect the organization in a regulatory and legal way, but also to facilitate growth in ULU. We anticipate great growth, and we needed to modify the structure to accommodate the growth and to logically move us into a sustained growth pattern. So much of the legal work has been completed, and I think we made that announcement last week. And much of not only the legal work, but the formatting of the operational procedures internal to ULU, much of that has been completed, still some in the process of being completed. The announcement that we made last month that I want to reiterate is that in the near future, Our target is to create Ulu chapters in Atlanta. We call the chapters UBCs, or Ulu-based communities. In other words, Ulu members practicing, you know, our overall strategy in the local community. And our goal is to establish two Ulu chapters in Atlanta, or two UBCs in Atlanta, one on the east side and one on the west side. And we've begun that work in setting up an organizing committee for that work. And again, that work continues. What I want to do this evening, more than anything else, is to also look at the overall work of rebranding Ujamaa. Most of us are familiar, and we've talked about it to some extent before, but most of us are familiar with Ujamaa as the fourth principle of the Nguzu Saba and the fourth day of celebration, or evening of celebration, during the Kwanzaa season. I'm informed that there is probably around 20 million of us who celebrate Kwanzaa in the world, and so a lot of us are familiar with the terms. And so we want to rebrand Ujamaa as new, N-E-W-Ujamaa. The reason for that is that Ujamaa has generally spoken of and ritualized currently is not strong enough, in our opinion. And we want to make it stronger and make it more specific to the work that we are doing. Historically, of course, Ujamaa is a Kiswahili word and popularized by Julius Nyerere and the Tanzanian experiment with Ujamaa villages during their time of empowerment and rise and shedding the shackles of colonialism. And specifically, it meant familyhood, thane, and economy. So we want to go back to those roots and attach Ujamaa to family and bring it into the 21st century as new Ujamaa. As a matter of fact, we've also acquired the domain newujamaa.org. I'm not sure that we'll ever use it, but at least we have acquired it just in case there is a need to use it. I can see a need, but that's not anything that we've taken advantage of yet, but we have secured the domain. Now, so when in Ulu, you'll see new in front of Ujamaa going forward. There may be times when we'll miss it, but that's by mistake. So we want to bring Ujamaa into the 21st century. The challenge that we face as Africans in the West and Africans on the continent and wherever we are is that we're confronted with economic dictatorship. What I mean by that is we are around entities, governments and non-governmental entities that tout democracy. But it's only in the political realm. But there is no democracy, for the most part, in the economic arena or realm. And so we are confronted in our communities with predatory economic practices that are dictatorial. There is nothing democratic about it. So as we look to develop tools of economic empowerment for ourselves, we certainly want them to be democratic, to be group-owned, and something that we can control and mold so that it benefits us as a community. So the challenge of overcoming racism, predatory capitalism, and all of the other ills that we can point to, we have, I think, the responsibility ourselves to create an economic engine and format that is democratic and family-centered. So when we say New Ujamaa, we are talking about family-centered economics, and I'm going to go further into it in terms of the economic tools that are developed by New Ujamaa, our principles in general. I would say that in Ulu, in Us Lifting Us, as an overall and overarching institution, we are not just looking at New Ujamaa in our business practices, but in our social and community practices as well. And in a very deliberate sense, we're going to use two value systems to undergird what it is that we're doing. Ma'at, which is ancient, you know, is not new for sure, and also the principles of Nguzu Saba. So those two will undergird what we do in terms of our social practice in Ulu. And so the point I want to make is that when we talk about the economic principles and practices that we are building, we want to brand them and think of them always as New Ujamaa or Ujamaa for the 21st century. Now, the primary tools for building power in Ulu are several. But the UBC, and we talked a good bit about this last week, the local chapters of Ulu that we call the Ulu-based community, with three major focuses. The first focus is building community among Ulu members in the local area. The second focus is building community among Ulu and other organizations and formations and institutions in the local community. And the third is building building economic institutions around the concept of New Ujamaa. As a matter of fact, we call these new business enterprises New Ujamaa Enterprises, or NUES, N-U-E for short. And all of the things that we talk about when we talk about the value systems of Nguzu Saba and the Kwanzaa principle and Ma'at will be infused not only in terms of what we do as a chapter or the UBC in community, but will also be infused into the businesses themselves. Now, we touched on it last month on our Thursday call, but I want to go a little bit deeper into it this evening in terms of the economic building blocks that we call the New Ujamaa Enterprises. And time. We want to have thousands of these entities in our local communities. These are, first of all, incubated in the community. In other words, created by the community through a process that has several levels. first, of course, is the development of a concept or an idea for a business. Secondly, mm-hmm. is the refinement of that idea into a rudimentary business plan. And then once that idea has been approved and funded, then the community is involved in erecting or establishing the business in the local community. And of course, the main thing that makes this different and powerful is the fact that these institutions are not only incubated by the community, but are controlled ultimately by the community, and the mm-hmm. the benefit is directed at the community. The job mm-hmm. creations, the products, goods, and services that the businesses promote, the stimulation of the local economy by these businesses, and of course, for the businesses that become profitable, we say mature and begin to produce a surplus or what may mm-hmm. be called a profit, then the profits belong to the community as well. And I won't go into any detail this evening. I went into a little detail last time. Through a strict formula, these ULU enterprises redistribute the benefits of the profits or the surplus back to the community through a prescribed process and formula. The synergy of all of the components of ULU taken together forms what you talked about earlier when you talked about a methodology, a process, a way of mm-hmm. developing us economically. So the ULU umbrella, the nonprofit, mm-hmm. the ULU subsidiary, the LLC, the chapters in the local communities, and the investment clubs that are a part of those, and also the news, the businesses themselves, all of them combine to produce and hold in place an exact method of economic empowerment or economic self-determination, which goes beyond economics, of course. It, right. As you build the economic floor, you also build the other stratas that make up the social makeup of a community. That's the economics, the political, and the cultural. mm-hmm. So, sis, I'll stop here and then continue in case there are any questions or feedback, and I want to invite you to help me through the presentation as well with any questions or concerns. Thank you.
Okay. Well, right now, Baba, we do not have any hands raised. If you want to rest your throat a minute, I could play you a song. I could find you.
Please do, because I guess okay. You hear me coughing.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking for it. I was not prepared for this. And I got it bad news. I know it's here. I thought it. Okay, I can't. Oh, there it is. All right, it's there for the altar for you.
Out of the drum we go. as a people out of the drum. We come. Hey. Out of the drum we come. Oh. As a people out of the drum we come. Out of the drum. The dance of the elder. Everybody, everybody dance. Respect yourself. The dance of the elder. Everybody, everybody dance. Respect yourself. Out of the drum, we come. As a people here, as a people, the dance, buddy elder. Everybody, everybody dance. Respect yourself. The dance of the elder. Everybody, everybody dance. Respect yourself. Everybody dance. Respect your elders here. Everybody dance. Respect your elders here.
Everybody, everybody dance.
Respect your elders. Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah, we've been listening to that over the years, and it still has so much meaning. Thank you again. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. Yeah. Yes, for members and prospective members, again, we mentioned the fact that there's a members-only call this Sunday, and mm-hmm. And then the annual meeting in March. I want to encourage all of our members and prospective members to look for the announcements. In addition to registering for the convention, and also in addition to becoming a sponsor, we want to encourage everyone to invite brothers and sisters that you know to come to our website. There's a very impactful video on the homepage of our website, and it centers around a question, and the question is, do you think we should control the economics of our own community? And it's probably about a 17-minute video. It's short. It's not a long video at all. And so mm-hmm. I want to encourage everyone to invite people that you know to go to the homepage, view the video, and then encourage them to take the next step and become a member of ULU and participate in building the machinery of economic self-determination. If we say that we should control the economics of our community, or if we say that we deserve self-determination, sovereignty, freedom, however we couch it, one thing is for sure, we're going to have to build the machinery that will take us to where we want to go. We're not going to go there on a magic carpet. We're going to go there because we build the machinery necessary to take us there. And so I want to encourage us to be aggressive and to invite family, friends, comrades to become members of ULU. And again, we are taking the lead here in Atlanta of building the UBCs, and all of us around the country will be able to, and around the African world, will be able to benefit from the lessons we learn through building the UBCs here in Atlanta. And so again, I just want to encourage us not to be lackadaisical or lazy, but to get off the couch and know that we're still involved in a struggle. Some of us will say that we're still involved in a war, at least a struggle for our survival and well-being. And it starts with us taking action. Is there any part of what I've sought to go over that in your mind, sis, needs further clarification?
No, Baba Hakima.
I
understand what you are saying. And I see the value in what you're putting forth as well. As you said in the first presentation that you did, that after a storm, we do not invite the storm to come back and help clean up. So we are, we are in the process of some serious cleaning up and building. We do have a hand up, Baba Hakima. So
beautiful.
I'm going to open the line for this. Caller with the last four digits, 8912, please state your name, where you're calling from, make your comment, or ask your question. Thank you.
Yes, this is Brother Thurman. I'm calling from Virginia. And I thank you all for being on again. And Baba Hakima, you're just bringing such good, vital information. And my question is, what sets Us Lifting Us apart when it comes to the Africans worldwide that are engaged in business and building businesses? What sets Us Lifting Us apart? And just to give you an example, there's an African Kenyan, a billionaire that has already transformed the village and built a hospital, I think, on 25,000 acres, and he's including the African people that have lived there as part of this. But what sets ULU apart? And just give us some clarity on that.
Yes. Yeah, I saw that video as well, and it's very positive and powerful work that that brother and the community is doing. And so we commend that. But that's the work of an individual or a small group. The major difference is, and this is monumental, we are building a process of economic activity that is rooted in the community, owned by the community, and it's not open for grabs for anyone who would interject themselves and seek to control it or to buy it. You know, we often talk about Soft Sheen out of the Chicago area. that was bought out by Revlon. We were proud of Salt Sheen. We contributed to the growth of it. But ultimately, the individual who owned it sold it to a European company. Same thing with BET. We talk about, you know, Bob Johnson in terms of building it, and he used the community to help build it, and we were proud of it. But ultimately, when Viacom came and offered money, it was taken away from us. So that's part of it. But the essence of it is that this is an economic process that is rooted in the community in a way that no other business, well, I shouldn't say that no other business, cooperatives are rooted in the community. In northern Spain, northern Italy, the UK, Canada, to some extent in America, there's a very strong global cooperative movement. But essentially, the co-ops belong to either the workers or to the patrons and not to a global group as we are Africans. So we're actually building a process that is owned by conscious African people. When I say conscious, the Africans who make a conscious decision to become a part of it. Remember, Marcus Garvey had more than 8 million members. Ulu can have 8 million members or more, all involved in New Ujamaa. And so the thing that sets Ulu apart from everything else that I'm looking at and everything else that we've studied is that it actually is involved in engineering a machinery, mechanism, way, technique, model for empowering our community and for passing that down to future generations. As an example, let's say that we decide a small appliance repair company in Richmond, Virginia, and another one in Charlotte, North Carolina, where the two of you are. That business would be like any other business. It would perform a service. It would charge a fee, and hopefully it would do an excellent job at performing those services. It may not just perform that service in the black community. It may perform that service anywhere there's a need and a call for that service to be applied. And so two things we really want to point out that's different is that the business itself is a collective. In other words, the workers, whether they're paid staff, volunteer staff, independent contractors or consultants, they make up a team that has weight and power in running the business and keeping the business on track based on our overall values. So it's a collective. But because the business is not owned by an individual, it's not owned by a small group, it's owned by all of us collectively. So if the business is located in Richmond and maybe another business in Charlotte, the membership of Ulu, which is global, is the owner. And the benefits or surplus that's generated from the business does not go into the pockets of an individual or small group. It goes back into the pool of resources to build other businesses, but some of it is also distributed back to the individual Ulu members who make up or finance an investment caucus in the local communities. So there is a benefit back to the individuals, the families, and the institutions that choose to participate in the fundraising, profit-sharing aspect of ULU. But essentially, Brother Thurman, what you asked is that here is a financial, business, commercial tool that ultimately becomes an economy that's actually controlled and owned by African people. So that's the difference, is that the proliferation of new Ujamaa enterprises changes the game globally in terms of the way commerce is done. And I dare say that what we do and what we develop not only benefits African people, but it will benefit mankind, because we will advance a way of involving humans throughout the different continents in a form of business and commerce that takes business and commerce out of the predatory realm that it is now. And so without going astray, the difference in a nutshell for me is that we're talking about a way of taking care of our basic needs, food, clothing, shelter, all the other things that we can point to, in a way that does not do damage to the individuals, to the families, to the communities, because the tools that are used to involve ourselves in commerce are tools that we develop ourselves, that we own, and we pass to future generations. There's a kind of a joke that says, what does a Rockefeller have to do to acquire wealth? And the answer is that the person just has to be born. Because the Rockefeller family, through their predatory practices, have positioned themselves so that the wealth and the wealth-creating institutions that they've built many years ago benefits future generations of their lineage, of their line. So what we will be doing in a comparable way is, on behalf of African people, we will build units in the local community, marshal our resources, our talents, our energy, our ingenuity, and our capital resources, and create businesses that are a different kind of creature in the social environment, and that if those businesses or any of them last 1,000 years, the DNA of that business holds fast, and that for its lifetime, because of how it's structured and how it's attached to the community, any benefit that is derived from it benefits the community, empowers the community, and again is passed down to future generations. Not only the surplus that's generated by the businesses, but the land holdings, the buildings, the machinery, the knowledge, the techniques, the routines, everything about it is us. And so we're talking about ushering in a new era of economic activity. Now, Brother Thurman and Sister Q and the listening audience, let's be clear about who we're talking about. We're talking about African people who outnumber all other people on the planet. There's probably 1.3 or 1.4 billion Chinese in the world, but there's probably 2 billion Africans on the planet. We have the fastest growing population of any people on the planet. The average age of Africans on the continent is 19 years old. So we have a young population, the fastest growing people on the planet. The whole world knows of our mineral resource, our lands, not only in terms of mineral resources, but water, forestry, you name it. So what we are talking about is the parent people of all mankind, the most populous people on the planet, the most resource-rich people on the planet, coming into its own and establishing institutions that would fortify our rightful place in the world. And that position is having dominion, such that we no longer have to look up to Europe, no longer have to look up to China or Japan or anybody else. And so Africa is on the rise, and we need a 21st century economic paradigm to match our zeal for Africans and the rise of Africans wherever we are on the planet. So I know I went further than you asked me, Brother Thurman, but essentially the difference is that no other economic activity that we can think of is under the ownership and control of us as a people, and not subservient to or at the risk of takeover, of us losing it to other communities. So that would be my answer, and I apologize for taking so long.
Are you satisfied,
Thank you,
Brother Thurman?
Oh, absolutely satisfied. And if it took 2 more hours, I would still be satisfied. Thank you, Brother. Thank you for feeding the family.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
And, and I'll just say this. Right now, when we look into the black community or into the African world, for the most part, we are making strides in terms of political empowerment. We are now the heads of governments in Africa and the Caribbean. I was just on the phone with one of our ULU members out in L.A., and they were involved in Sister Bass's election as the new mayor of L.A. So, in Georgia, we just had this election. So we are on the leading edge of organizing and doing what we need to do to protect ourselves from some of the negative impacts of policy. But when we take an honest look at the economics of our community, we're not able to point to many successes.
Mm-hmm.
And I dare say there's not a zip code in America that black people dominate. Not a zip code. I'm not talking about a whole city. I'm not talking about a neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just a zip code.
Mm-hmm.
That's an indictment on leadership. And what I mean by that, we are focused so much on minimizing the ill effects of those who would do ill to us, and we got to do that. I'm not saying that we don't have to, but we we are reminded that we have to both fight, heal, and build at the same time.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
We're doing a good job in terms of fighting. We're focusing to some extent on healing. We're not doing the best job there, and I know Brother Thurman and you talk about that often. But we're doing a lousy job at building.
Mm-hmm.
Ulu takes the position, or I will say I take the position, that I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm saying that there is an immutable law, that there is a law of nature that says if you're not in charge of yourself, then the only position rightfully, justly for you is to be controlled by somebody else.
No doubt.
And so when we look at it in terms of that equation,
mm-hmm.
a good percentage of our time and energy and resources have to be focused on building, not just in terms of protecting or defending, because essentially mm-hmm. Europe and Asia are not going to modify their behavior to benefit us. We're mm-hmm. going to have to modify our behavior so that our power, our strength moves them out of the position that in recent history they have occupied as mm-hmm. as predators on our nations, our communities. So we have a responsibility to engineer, to build, and to sustain Ulu and the structures and processes that we are putting in place. Because I dare say that when we look in the communities, and if we ask our question, what are the systems, what are the institutions that are currently being used to build an economic infrastructure for African people? I don't know that we can point to any one institution except Ulu. That's not to say mm-hmm. that some institutions are not contributing in some ways to that. There are black co-op movements. There are other individuals, and as Thurman mentioned, the billionaire in Kenya that's building the new city around the hospital. But mm-hmm. in terms of African people participating in constructing an economic floor for building a new economic reality and an economy for African people, I don't see it happening. I see, mm-hmm. you know, I see people in some cases wearing long robes and even wigs in terms of government.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we're shedding that, of course. I shouldn't have even brought that up. But the job and the responsibility of economic self-determination, you can't ask other people to do that for us. That's not something that can be granted because of our excellent appeal to the morals of other people.
Right. Well,
like
you know,
John
actually,
Clark.
It is their right to protect themselves and build for themselves. So, in a way, we cannot get upset them over what they do. Our upset is over ourselves not handling our own business in the way that
go.
We should have.
There you go.
And speaking to the point of BET being sold to whoever they were sold to and Softsheen being sold to whoever they were sold to, I remember that, I forget the brother's name, Black Enterprise Magazine, And that was a major focus of his magazine, to build your business so that someone else would want to buy it. And I don't think that he was focusing on the idea of another person that looked like you buying it. I think he was focusing on getting it sold to someone else, you know, to the Rockefellers or Viacom or whoever else.
Yeah.
So, again, that's our is because, I guess, he didn't have the forward-looking to say that we need to keep these and pass it into our community. And the people that were looking to him for advice and instructions or ideas of what they should do with their business didn't know any better than to listen to what he was saying. So the whole movement was to have us build it up and then give it to the basically give it away because, you know, they're not going to pay us as much as actually has value for.
I don't want to begrudge brothers and sisters who go into business for themselves because in in many cases it's a way of fortifying their family and fortifying the future of their families. And so what I'm looking forward to is that the Ulu Enterprises, as a part of the overall mix in our communities, change the dynamics because we need black-owned businesses and enterprises.
Absolutely,
and
no
most of them are not predatory in the sense that we talk about the major corporations as being predatory. But if we don't have some of the economic activity in our communities that's owned and controlled by us and that the surplus that's generated belongs to the community, then we're not in a situation where we can grow.
I would see, Brother Hakima, that, you know, like in the instance of individually owned businesses, I would like to see Ulu reach a point where when once these men and women have built up their businesses, perhaps their children don't want to take it over, perhaps, whatever, then Ulu can step in and buy the business from them if they prefer or however. But rather than have us sold out of the community, we can come up with a way that these businesses and enterprises stay within the community and the founding member is recognized for the work that the founder of the organization or the company is recognized for the work that they did in bringing it into existence and nurturing it and building it and then passing it on to us so it can go on into, like you said, 1,000 years.
That's beautiful. And, of course, we want to be in a position where we can move the products, goods, and services produced by independent black-owned businesses. So we want to stimulate the growth and stability of the community so that all of us benefit. But the glue or the cement for economic self-determination, we already know is not individual black business ownership. If that was the case, we would have at least one, two, or three, or 10 intact black communities where we dominate. So we know through practice that individual black business ownership is not a good tool of empowerment for the group, for the whole group. All right, then. But I like that idea of enshrining the owner or the developer or the founder of a business that was later acquired by Ulu and keeping that that name and that family alive. That's awesome. Yeah. That's what I wanted to share with Sister. So next month I'm probably going to bring on someone in Ulu, strategically placed, to be with me and highlight some of the things that are happening. And, of course, I'll focus over the next 2 or 3 months is the cementing of the UBCs here in Atlanta and pointing forward to the creation of UBCs in Charlotte and Richmond and L.A. and wherever we are in the world. So I thank you, sis, and it's good hearing your voice.
Thank you, Baba Hakima, and we, as usual, we enjoy your update. So we want to thank everyone who joined us for this evening. Thank you, Baba, for the information that you provided us with. We want to invite everyone to join us again next Thursday evening at 9 o'clock Eastern Time for another installment of Dare to Win. Peace.